So let us pray. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor and we give you glory. We are grateful for the evening. Grant us grace sufficient. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. So the title of what we are going to look at today is the demands of hosting revival. The demands of hosting revival. The demands of hosting revival. Okay? There are demands to hosting revival. Now, we are going to begin our journey from the book of Joel, chapter number 2, a favorite portion of scripture, especially in light of outpourings, and also just a common portion of scripture, Joel chapter number 2 and verses number 28. My Bible is not opening. However, it's a very, very, very common portion of scripture. Okay, very common portion of scripture, Joel chapter number 2. Am I in Joel? Joel chapter number 2 and verses number 28. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Okay? And then, great. Ah, thank you so much. And it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men shall see visions. That's Joel chapter number 2 and verses number 28. Joel chapter number 2 and verses number 28. It's speaking of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, allow me to begin with the fact that this was a prophetic word given by the prophet Joel concerning the last days. So Joel began to echo a prophetic direction, a prophetic word. And in his echoing of that prophetic word, Joel started to tell us that in the last days, God would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. This would be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that would lead to a revival, okay, a move of God, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then we see the fulfillment of the prophetic word of Joel. The fulfillment of Joel chapter number 2, in case some of you are wondering, when was this prophetic word fulfilled concerning the last days? The prophetic word of Joel concerning the last days was fulfilled in the book of Acts, okay? Chapter number 2 and verses number 1 through to 4. We see the fulfillment of this prophetic word in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter number 2, verses number 1 through to 4, which says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. So this was the fulfillment of the prophetic word of Joel. In Joel chapter number 2, we see the fulfillment of it in Acts chapter number 2. Now, it's very, very important for us to understand that when Joel gave this prophetic word, he didn't say, on the last day, I will pour out my spirit. He says, in the last days, plural. It means that it was not tied to one day. So the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was not a one-day thing. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit was something that was to be each and every day. So it says in the last days, when are the last days? Or when did the last days begin? If you are following, the last days began after Acts 2. So every day after Acts 2 is marked as a day of outpourings, because every day after Acts chapter number 2 is a day for outpourings, because it falls under the category of the last days. So yesterday was the last days, today is the last days, tomorrow is the last days, next week will be the last days. So that means that since all these days are marked as the last days, we should expect an outpouring of the Holy Spirit every day, because each and every day after Acts 2 has got the DNA of the last days. So we are to expect outpourings of the Holy Spirit every day. We are to live in a revival. We were born to live in a revival. We were designed to live in revival. The church of the last days is a church of revival. We are to live in revival. That is why revival is not an event. It is not a fancy conference theme to make a meeting sound more spiritual and say we are having a revival meeting. Now, we can do that. We have a revival seminar. We can announce it. However, it's more than just announcing it as a theme. Revival is a lifestyle. It's a culture that we are supposed to continuously be living by. You can say this week we are having revival. Now, it's okay. We understand what we mean when we say that. Okay? But you see, when you are talking about revival in its actuality, revival is a culture. We are to live in revival. Now, I've heard several times many people have said revival stops or revival ceases. Now, it's true that revival stops or God shuts down revival. People say God will shut down revival. Now, God does not have intentions of shutting down revival. Sometimes you will see a group of people experiencing a move of God, and one of the things you will hear someone say is that naifofo twali fiofine nombaline fialapwa. Even us, we used to pray like you used to pray. Even us, we used to fast like you used to fast. There was a group just before you, even them, they came with so much fire, but the move of God died out. So even this move of God will die out. Now, it's important for you to understand that God has no intentions of shutting down revival, because we were meant to live in a revived state. The church of the last days is a church of revival. However, when revival dies, many of us assume God has decided to not send revival in this season and then send it in another season. No, the only time revival dies is because of human error. Revival dies because of human error. It's never a challenge on the end of God's equation. When revival is shut out because there is a flaw, a fault on our equation. Revival is not shut because of a flaw on God's equation or God's side of the equation. No. The revival is dying because of a fault on our side of the equation. And when revival is shut down because there are flaws on our side of the equation, it is God's heart of love to sustain us and keep us alive. Because I can assure you, when revival comes and people are not living in holiness, revival will kill them, because the same fire that purifies is the same fire that can kill. The same fire that sets men ablaze is the same fire that killed Ananias and Sapphira when they found lies in them and they lied to the Holy Ghost. So it's very, very important for you to actually understand that when God shuts down revival, when you start misbehaving, it is because he has noticed the revival and the intensity of glory can kill you if you live a sinful lifestyle. That is why in revival, it's important that men and women walk in holiness, because if you don't walk in holiness and purity during revival times, one of the things you will discover is that revival can choke you. So there's someone who stand on their microphone, just counter check it. There's so many of you, I don't know who I can even shut down, but someone has stand on their microphone. Just have them shut it down. Okay, praise the name of the Lord. Okay, so that is what happens during revival times. So revival is something that is supposed to be happening consistently. Consistently. We were born to live in revival. We were meant to live in revival. We are to continually live in revival. Now, if we are to continually live in revival, it means that this thing will have demands. Anything that you are going to have for a very long time, anything that you are going to have for a very long time, will have demands. Several times when people press into revival, what they usually think about is just, you know, the manifestations. So when we're pressing into revival, many of us are thinking about it in light of the manifestations and the power that will be active and alive in that revival. So many times people are just thinking about the power, the manifestations that will be alive in that revival. Okay? So calling for revival is one thing, but having to host it is another. Calling for revival is one thing. Having to host revival is another thing. Apparently, not so many people are ready to host revival. Okay? Because revival comes with demands. Some people aren't ready for revival. They just want a visitation. I can tell with the way people behave that you are not ready for revival. You are just ready for a visitation. Okay? You are just ready for a visit. Many people say we want a revival. No, you just want a visitation for a particular season, but not a revival. Imagine the Azusa Street revival, I think, should have gone for 2 to 3 years. Okay, if not four, if I'm not mistaken. It went for 2 to 3 years, meeting every day. Okay? And when I say every day, I mean every day. People meeting for 2 to 3 years every day. Back-to-back meetings. Back-to-back meetings. People quit jobs. People hung up things just to ensure that the revival was running. 2 to 3 years. So many people are not ready for a revival because meeting for 2 to 3 years will come with demands. Some of you, just this simple telegram of sustaining, there are even prayer watches. You can't keep the prayer watches. You are not ready for revival. Don't cry for it. Say, Lord, visit us for a season. Then after a season, leave us alone. Okay? But if you're calling for a revival and God will bring a revival that will shift a nation, a revival that will go for 3 to 4 years, there are demands in that particular revival. So many people are not ready for revival. They just want a visitation. And you will see, as we begin to look at the demands, you will discover that many of you may not necessarily be ready for the revival you are calling for. You may not be ready for the revival you keep asking God for. However, the teaching is not to show you not just to show you the areas of your weakness. The teaching is also to show you areas in which you are to improve in. So the teaching is not to deprecate you, to make you feel bad, but the teaching is also to tell you that there is this demand, and if you want revival, you must be aware of it. And if you're calling for revival, you must call for revival with an informed mindset. Okay, so hosting a revival doesn't hinge on just calling for it or just calling for meetings, but it also calls for spiritual demands and administrative demands. So when you're calling for a revival, you're not just calling for it. It just doesn't mean, oh, let's call for revival. There will be demands. There will be demands. Many revivals were lost not because people moved in sin. Many revivals were lost because people were not willing to meet the demands that the revival came with. When God comes in revival, God is not coming, you know, as just a little cute cat, you know, to just come and have fun and you play with the cat like Sui loves cats. Hey, cutie, cutie. Hey, pretty, pretty. No. God is not coming like that. When God comes, he comes as the lion of the tribe of Judah who comes to take over. And when he takes over, there are demands. So it's not like, oh, God comes, say, okay, God, Lord, we are glad you are here, but go and sit at the back. We've got our own program. No. When God comes, it's not a hey, kitty, kitty, kitty thing. No, it's the lion of the tribe of Judah who will come and roar and announce that he is king and he has come to take over. And that thing will come with demands. Okay? So it's very, very important for you to actually understand that revival will have demands. Now, tonight we will look at some of the demands of revival. Okay? We will look at some of the demands of revival. Number one, the first demand is called the demand of discernment. The demand of discernment. Okay? The demand of discernment. Revival will demand your discernment. Okay? Revival will demand your discernment. Revival should never be judged by the natural eyes as the primary utensil to quantify revival. You should never judge revival with the natural eyes as a primary utensil to quantify. So your natural eyes do not suffice, okay, to quantify revival. They don't suffice as a sufficient utensil to quantify revival. Discernment is key in quantifying the activities of revival. When you use the natural eyes alone to quantify revival, you will miss it because you will need to discern what is happening in the revival. When the move of God comes, discernment is needed. Revival is characterized by unusual manifestation of the Spirit of God. So because there are unusual manifestations of the Spirit of God, it is important for you to use discernment or else you will truncate the revival. So every revival that comes will demand high levels of discernment because how genuine a move of God is determined by our ability to discern the Spirit endorsing the manifestation. Okay? So how genuine a move of God is determined by our ability to discern the spirit endorsing the manifestation. Some manifestations may be godly, okay? But then the way they look, they don't look friendly. And so if you are not discerning enough, you may think that is of the devil and you will choke revival. Many people have choked revival because revival came in a way that they were not comfortable with. And so because they were judging with the natural eyes, they ended up choking revival. Many of us pastors, we have choked revival because we were grading it from our natural eyes. When you are viewing the activities of revival, your eyes are not sufficient enough to quantify it. Don't judge with your natural eyes. Judge with the eyes of your heart. Judge with discernment. So you must understand that when revival is in view, you may shut it down merely because you don't understand the manifestations. Many people have been chased from churches because the churches thought they were becoming very weird. And they said that is not of God. That is of the devil. There are some people that I know who were accused of being Satanists because the pastor did not have discernment. So you don't discern revival by saying, No, this does not look like God. No. Because I can assure you, even the devil can behave. So if you are judging revival by people behaving, you will have devils seated in suits in your church. You will have devils seated in the praise team. You will have devils behaving well in the intercessory team. Merely because you said that God is a God of order. So if there is to be order, order is that people are relaxed and seated. There are many devils in churches that are seated on chairs, seated on administrative boards as leaders in church boards because the pastors, the leaders are not discerning. What is order by God's definition? In Acts chapter number 2, people were behaving drunk and the Holy Ghost saw that as order. People were behaving drunk and the Holy Ghost saw that as order. So the order of God is different from the order of the world. So it's very, very important for us to actually understand that you need discernment in revival. There is a high demand of discernment. On the other end, you may be thinking that the activity happening is an activity of the manifestation of the Spirit. So if you are just looking at it like that and saying, that's the Holy Ghost, that's the Holy Ghost, you may be shocked. Those are devils. Okay, those are devils. There are some people I would see in meetings. They are behaving as though they are enjoying God. And if you're not careful, you will say, God has come to our church. God is visiting us. The move of God is there. There are manifestations in our church. But if you use discernment, you will check and discover that actually there is no move of God there. Those are lying and seducing spirits. And you have to cast them out. Okay, Sashi, your microphone is on. Okay, let me just mute him. So you will just realize that the things of which are happening are actually not godly activities. So you may be now saying, so pastor, how do we grade revival? That is why, you know, when people are saying, no, God does not move like that. That's the weakest way of trying to grade revival because you don't view revival like that. You view revival through discernment because, like I said, even devils can behave. So when you are viewing the activities of revival, you must view the activities of revival in light of discernment, okay? Because someone can be looking like they're slain under the power. When you discern, you can discover, no, that is not God. That is the flesh manifesting, okay? Sometimes you can see someone behaving a certain way, you say, that is the devil. When you check, the Holy Ghost says, I am endorsing that behavior. So you can't view the activities of revival by a standard. You must use discernment. For example, on one day, someone can lift a chair and be running with a chair in a prayer meeting. That is why, you know, I see people trying to behave smart. You know, I've read revival extensively. I'm a student of revival. I have read of every major revival that has ever hit the face of the earth, at least, you know, the ones that I could get my hands on, but I've read revival extensively. Sometimes I see people laughing at someone lifting a chair and praying in tongues. And I see people laughing and they'll say, Vapente. Now, you see, when sometimes you see those things, You may say, no, that is just exaggerating. That is in the flesh. I've seen even us pastors, we bash it. You know, I've seen pastors, you know, like, you know, we say that is not of God. That is, you know, sometimes discern first, because the same manifestation can be godly and ungodly. When the Holy Ghost decides to breathe on you lifting a chair, it becomes a godly manifestation. When the Holy Ghost has not breathed on you lifting the chair, it's not a godly manifestation. So whatever it is that you do in the move of God, you do it in light of what the Holy Ghost is telling you to do. The Holy Ghost may prompt you to laugh today. The next day, he's not prompting you to laugh. The day he prompted you to laugh, that laughing was anointed and was in the spirit. It was an endorsed behavior in revival. The next day you laugh without the Holy Ghost leading you, that behavior is in the flesh. So you must understand that when you are looking at things, don't look at them and standardize the move of God. You can't standardize revival. You can't standardize the move of God and say everyone lifting chairs is carnal. No, you can't say that. On another day, someone will lift the chair, and in the spirit, it may mean that lifting of a chair is that they uprooted something in the spirit. Sometimes you'll be praying. Many of you that have been in the marathons, you will notice that when we start to hit heights in the spirit, one of the things that happens when we start to hit heights is that peculiar things begin to happen, because you are interacting with high energy levels in the spirit. So when peculiar things begin to happen, one of the things that will happen is that you will find yourself doing things. There are sometimes I've seen someone na kwatafe phone kukutwi, na bikafe phone kukutwi, na praying with a phone kukutwi, na bikafe phone kukutwi. You feel like they're talking to heaven. You don't know. It looks like that's the flesh. You may say, mulungu sama enda so. You know, these chaps, you know, some people will even say, these chaps, they are just too excited. Meanwhile, you are viewing it from the flesh. So what you are picking from the act is not the act itself. You are trying to pick the spirit endorsing the behavior. If you find that it is the Holy Ghost endorsing the behavior, let them put the phone on the ears. When you check again and you find the putting of the phone to the ears, the Holy Ghost is void of that experience, you know that is in the flesh. We can say, brother, don't do that. So you can't standardize revival and say, this is how the Holy Ghost moves. No, you can't standardize revival. You cannot standardize. I have seen weird manifestations. And if I was not discerning enough, I'm telling you the truth. Many of the things that happen in our church, many of the things that happen in the marathons, I don't think I would be allowing if I was using the natural eye, because some of the things that happen, they are strange things. Okay, very, very awkward and rare, awkward things. And some of them happen when we have a lot of visitors. When visitors come, that is when strange things begin to happen. So if I'm just viewing it from the natural eye, there are many of you I would have told you to stop, because sometimes I can get uncomfortable. One of the things that, let me share this with you. Let me share things that are close to home. Because sometimes when you talk about revival from the West, revival in books, it feels far off. Let me talk about revival in our current place. One of the things that usual, that I don't know if Thelma knows it, but one of the things that just used to unsettle me, you know, those days, is when Thelma holds the microphone and all she's doing is she'll just be doing that on the mic. Someone's standing on the microphone again. Let's not do that. It's disturbing the flow of thought. Children of God, Wilson, when you, okay. So she'd just come in and that would just be happening, okay? That would just be happening. And I'll be wondering. And sometimes it will be happening when she's on the microphone and the microphone is loud. I'm saying, what type of prayer is this? Sometimes I'm just praying, Lord, let us stop. And the moment I make that prayer, the intensity of the cry goes up. And I'm like, Lord, these kids are embarrassing me. And you know, visitors are there, pastor friends are visited. And you know, it's like your pastor friends are even looking at you. I say, so hey, revive umlela ndati mukwete. You can almost pick their utterances in the heart, you know, by, you know, picking the heart, cardiogenesis, communication of the heart. You can almost pick what they are actually saying in their hearts. And In that moment, if I was a pastor that was not discerning, I would have said, stop that. Don't do that. Or switch off that microphone. Wapea rafe Steve signal. Switch off her mic. Okay? But you see, the moment I try and stop it, I notice the Holy Ghost resisting me. The moment I try and stop it, the more I notice the Holy Ghost also leaving me. So the moment I'm trying to say, don't do that, or the moment I'm trying to interrupt her in a certain way, I also notice the Holy Ghost leaving me. So if you interrupt her, I will also leave you. If you are shy of this type of manifestation, I will also leave you alone. So the moment that started happening, I said, okay, so I picked the signal of the Holy Ghost or the presence of the Holy Ghost in that manifestation. So I decide, oh, okay, I'll leave it at that. Because me, I love the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter how weird he comes, how strange he comes. I love him. I have known days without him, and I'm not willing to have days without the Holy Spirit. If you've known days without the Holy Ghost, you will accept every vision he gives you. Because I know what it means to not have the Holy Ghost in church. It's not interesting. I know what it means not to have the power of the Holy Spirit on my life. It's not interesting. I'd rather have weird, strange things that are Holy Spirit driven than not have anything. One man of God said, you'd rather have a kindergarten than a cemetery. So I'd rather have kids making noise, people screaming, people jumping, people doing strange things than have a dead church. No, thank you. No, sir. Life is too short to do boring church. So I don't want to have boring church. Life is too short for us to do boring church. Give us the strange stuff. Give us the spooky stuff. Give us the weird stuff of the Holy Ghost. Give us every strange things that the Holy Ghost has. So now in revival, you need high levels of discernment. Okay. You need high levels of discernment. On the other end, there are also people that may copy. So all of a sudden you copy and you start a booing, a boo. And when we pick it, we notice the Holy Spirit is not inspiring that. So whatever it is that we are doing in revival, we need to ensure that everything that we are doing in revival has got the presence of the Holy Ghost in it. Because the Holy Ghost, you know, must endorse a behavior. And so you must have high levels of discernment, okay? You must have high levels. No, Tina, that there's no need for that. So you must actually have high levels of discernment, okay? You must actually have high levels of discernment for you to actually be in a revival. So there's the demand for discernment, okay? So because people are naturally drawn to idolizing things, it's very, very important for us to be discerning. So now revival has got unusual manifestations, has got strange manifestations happening, and people are drawn to idolizing things. So if you don't have discernment, you may actually find that even when manifestations that are of God come, you will not know that people have started idolizing the manifestations and have left the God who brings the manifestations. So that also requires discernment. So there's a high demand for discernment also, because even beautiful manifestations of the Holy Ghost could be idolized. Beautiful manifestations of the Holy Ghost could be idolized. So when you discern that people have started idolizing the manifestations and have forgotten God, the discernment will kick in and you will start to teach people right and have them drawn back to God. Let me give you an example. At Bethel Church, unusual manifestations started happening. Bethel Church in Redding, California. One of the manifestations was God dust. God dust would just come on people's hands. You know, God dust would just be in the meetings. Things like that would begin to happen. At one point, I remember watching a video Jeremy Riddle was leading in the Our Father song. Okay, Sharon, you're very late. I don't think we're going to backtrack like that. You know, someone was listening to you, listen to the recording. So Jeremy Riddle was actually doing the Our Father song, and you know, literal a glory cloud and God dust, you know, appeared in the room. Strange manifestations were happening. Strange manifestations were happening. At one point, something happened, you know, on the carpet. Okay, they saw they found a print of a large foot. Okay. They found the print of a large foot, okay, because there was so much angelic activity that night. So they found the print of a large foot, very, very large foot, okay, which was like a footprint of an angel. So they cut it out, okay, they cut it out and they put it in one of their museums or something. Okay, strange things were happening. Now, if you've noticed some of their worship sessions, you'll notice there's always someone painting, there's prophetic art. So there was a prophetic picture that was painted at Bethel that was put, I think, in one of their buildings, either the church or something. Now, the painting had so much of the presence of God on it that everyone that came touched the painting would get healed. Okay, everyone that would come and touch the painting, they would get healed. So those are prophetic paintings and all that. So people paint prophetically. Something happened on one of the paintings, which became a prophetic picture. You touch the painting, you get healed. It carried so much of the presence of God. It was painted in one of the very intense worship sessions. So someone touches the painting, they get healed. They touch the painting, they get healed. Now, what had happened is that, when that started happening, people forgot God and they started idolizing the painting. They started idolizing the things God was doing in revival. And when they started idolizing the things God was doing in revival, Bill Johnson noticed it through discernment. Now, people don't say that we have started idolizing. You know, let me tell you something. Excuse me. The rebels never declare themselves, or let me say it like this, rebels never label themselves as rebels. So no one comes up and says, we are rebels, us. No, it didn't happen like that. No one just says, me, I idolize my phone. No one says that. As we have started idolizing the move of God. No one says that. It would take discernment. So if you think someone would just say, we are now idolizing getting slain. No, we are now idolizing getting drunk. You will not say it. No one says it. It will take discernment from spiritual mature people to know. So Bill Johnson discerned that people started idolizing the painting. And indeed, people were getting healed by it. Now, despite people getting healed by it and despite having so many sick people, they removed the painting from the building and put it away. Because they would rather have God than people idolize a painting. So revival required discernment. So there is a great demand for discernment. The second demand in revival is the demand of God's word. The demand of God's word. For example, before I go to the demand of God's word, actually, I remember Wallace on the Copper Belt ministering. Something happened. The power of God was so strong. The power of God was so strong that when ministering the power of God, I removed my tie and I started waving my tie at people. And people were getting slain under the power of God just at the tie that I was having, because it was powerful that night. When I was through ministering, people stole my tie. And all I heard afterwards is that people have cut pieces of it and have shared it. So people are no longer praying. But ku interview, just kalaka piska tayo kwa kwata, akabika pa nan. Leta yashan, what do you call this? I've never written one, so I don't know what you call it. What do you call this letter? Application letter, or CV, or whatever it is, curriculum. So, people had cut the tie into pieces. Now, bakana. Umwana alwala, vamubika feka piska tie pa forehead. Lala. Now, mbika. So, you notice why discernment is key sometimes. That sometimes you realize, even though something is very, very powerful and you can channel the anointing through a certain dimension of ministering the power of God, sometimes we decide not to minister the anointing in certain ways, even though you can minister it like that and there's no problem. But sometimes, because of the spiritual maturity of the people, you say, if I minister the anointing with my jacket, you may find that the jacket is stolen. Okay, how people will connive with the guy that works at the laundry shop, you will not know. Okay, so sometimes because of that, those are some of the examples. Anyway, let's move. Okay, so the second demand is the demand of God's word. Okay, the demand of God's word. In revival, there is a demand, and that demand is the demand of God's word. The word of God in revival is reference to any activity that happens in revival. The word of God in a revival is reference to any activity happening in a revival. Every time a generation replaces the word of God with revival activity, error is nearby. Let me say that again. Every time a generation replaces the word of God with revival activity, error is nearby. So the moment we start to replace the word of God with the activity in revival, error is close by. Error is knocking at our door. You know, someone says, me, I don't even read the word of God. We just flow. We just flow. We just flow. What are you flowing, sir? Me, I don't even read the word. We are beyond the word. Sir, error is nearby. Okay? Error is nearby. Error is nearby. So there is a great demand to be vested in the word of God, like the Bereans, going back to search the scriptures, going back to read the scriptures. And that is why even in this session, one of the things you notice that I'm actually doing is that I'm spending a lot of time, you know, giving you references, book references, you know, giving you references of so that you go back and you go and read. If you want to just flow, you just want to flow, 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 flow without the word of God, you will become a spiritist, okay? As we just flow, we don't read the word of God, you will become a spiritist. You are not seeing vision, sir. Okay? You are not seeing you have become a spiritist. And it's very, very important for you to understand that the word of God in revival is cardinal. And if you are in that particular place, let me tell you something. If you are in that phase where you are experiencing the move of God, but you don't read the Bible, error is near you. Because when you pursue manifestations apart from the word of God, the devil is willing to give you manifestations. Mm-hmm. Every time we pursue manifestations more than the word of God, we will get the manifestations. But I can assure you, you may not like what you get. So it's very, very important for us to understand that in revival times, we should read the word of God more. And the reason why we should read the word of God more is, unfortunately, many revivals lack a saturation of the word of God. This is because the wine is usually poured out regardless of the spiritual maturity. Okay, let me say that again. Many revivals lack a saturation of God's word. And this is because wine is usually poured out regardless of spiritual maturity. The Corinthian church is a good study. There's a study I did called the Corinthian church, which I don't know if I've put on Google Podcasts, but if it's there, read it. My study on the Corinthian church, I did a study with the church, I think 3-part series or 4-part series on the book of Corinthians. Okay, we talk about the revival at the church in Corinth. That's my favorite revival. The church, the Ephesus revival and the Corinthian church revival are my favorite biblical revival, at least for now. Okay, so now, unfortunately, many revivals lack a saturation of God's word. And this is because wine is usually poured out regardless of spiritual maturity. What does that mean? This means that before some of you even knew what the scriptures say, before even some of you knew what the Bible said, you encountered the wine first. And there's no problem with that. But the wine should be an invitation to go deeper into the word of God. But God is so generous that he will not resist the wine merely because you don't know what Ephesians says. God is so generous and loving, he will not resist the wine merely because you do not know what the book of Genesis says. So he will still pour out the wine, but the wine is to be an invitation to draw you deeper into the deeper things of God. He will pour out his gifts liberally. So you will find people who don't know the word of God, but the prophetic gifting is active. The healing gifting is active. The other giftings are active. Why? Because God pours out the wine regardless of spiritual maturity. The gifts are usually heightened before some people grow in the word. So you will notice before some people even grow in the word, the gifts of the spirit are heightened. And the devil usually uses this as a loophole to convince us that we don't need to be given to the word. Why? Because I am flowing. The gifting is active. I have never read my Bible in 5 months, but I can still get drunk. I've never read my Bible in 3 months, but I'm still prophesying. I have not touched my Bible in the last 1 week, but things are still happening. The anointing is still happening. I can assure you, error is nearby. And one of the things that happens is that the enemy allows success of a revival not given to the word of God. He will allow the success of that revival to happen for a very long period. And the reason why he's allowing it is that he's trying to weaken you. So by the time the devil comes to choke you, you will try and say, "Devil, in the name of Jesus, I come against you according to this scripture." And then you try and quote it and you discover you don't have any scripture in you. You are too far gone. So it's very, very important for you to understand that the enemy will try and use this as a loophole to convince us that we do not need the word of God because everything else is flowing. So he will sponsor the activity, allow you to flow. He will not fight you. No one will fight anything you are doing. You'll be saying, "Well, we don't read the word of God, but things are growing. Things are moving. Things are happening. Things are happening." Okay? And then you will notice chaos and calamity will actually come your way. So there is the demand for God's word. In revival, we must be given to study. Start to read the Bible. Start to study the Bible. And that is why revival seminars like these are very good. When you are in this revival seminar, get notebooks, be writing notes, be taking notes, be an ardent learner, always taking notes, ulelembama notes, go back to the scriptures. You will find I can't explain everything. You go back, "Pastor mentioned this, where can I study this? Pastor mentioned this book, where is..." That's what this revival platform is all about, for us to study the word of God. And I am telling you something, you can tell that error is close by in many of the revivals because people hate the word of God. They don't like the word of God. When you want to teach them, they don't like it. Where are Bible studies? People don't want Bible studies. When we say we are doing a Bible study and we are going to do a survey of the book of Ephesians, people will not go there. But when you now just say, "Oh, I can feel it in my bones. I can feel it in my legs. I feel it in my head. There is something happening here. Oh, you are not feeling me. You are not getting me. There is fire everywhere. Fire in my eyes. Fire on my hair. Fire on my wig. Fire on the eyelashes. There is fire on the lipstick. Fire everywhere. Mwebantu ndeon formulilo. Mwebantu tualapia. Mwebantu fiaka banomba. File kabanga ndenda. File kabanga ndebutuka. File kabanga nafukama. I can feel it." People will be excited. The moment we now say, "Okay, we are now going to do a Bible study. Let us start a study of the book of Acts. We are doing a survey of the book of Acts." Firstly, children of God, the book of Acts was written by Dr. Luke. Dr. Luke wrote the book of Acts to a man called Theophilus. Now, theologically, there is a debate concerning Theophilus. Some people say Theophilus was a person. Some people say Theophilus was not a person because Theophilus also means a lover of God. So there is a theological debate. Some people say Theophilus was a person. Some people say Luke was writing to every lover of God. So you now start to, you know, explain things. So from chapter 1 to chapter 2, what we see being addressed, the focus here is this. You now go into the book of Matthew. What is the emphasis in the book of Matthew? Okay, the emphasis in the book of Matthew is that the book of Matthew is emphasizing Jesus as the Messiah King. That is why you notice the narrative there emphasizes him as the Messiah King. That is why we start the genealogy. We start with the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew. Okay, why are we starting with the genealogy of Jesus in the book of Matthew? We are starting with the genealogy of Jesus to show us, because prophetically we were told that the Messiah would come through that particular line. So Matthew, trying to emphasize the messiahship of Jesus, he starts with the genealogy. Okay, this one begot this one. This one begot this one. Until you have your line, you have any David Yambo Kwisa. Kwa, 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 kwa. That's why it says, "Oh, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Because the Messiah was to come through that particular line. So, nga mwambo kubelenga so, mwambo kikonka so Bible, you will notice you will lose favor with people. They will not want that Bible. Without in a pastor, you are boring. Some of those Some of those people you are saying they are boring on the internet, those are the ones some of you need, because error is nearby. The devil is doing press-ups for your destiny, yet you are running away from people that want to teach you the word. You just want to feel fire everywhere, fire in the legs, fire in the shine, fire in the shine. No. Sometimes sit down. You know, sometimes I will sit down listening to boring preachers. There are some preachers on the internet that I know that are powerful preachers, but they are boring. Those white men. Sometimes I'll be sitting down listening to white men explaining revival. The other time I was listening to a man, I've forgotten his name. He was teaching on the Argentine revival. Okay, he was teaching on the... No. Is it the Argentine revival? Let me check it out. I think so. It should be the Argentine revival. Yeah, I think it should be the Argentine revival, which was it the Argentine revival that was led by Tommy Hicks? Yeah, I should believe so. I think it was the Argentine revival that was led by Tommy Hicks. There's actually a book, I think, on that revival called The Secrets of the Argentine Revival. I think you should read that book. It's a powerful book. The revival was actually led by Tommy Hicks, I should believe. So I was listening to a man narrate the Argentine revival, the word of God, and just explaining things. It was the most boring thing I heard. But and I explain it. It will flow. So some of you need to sit down under people that are teachers. Let them explain the word of God so that you are vested in the word of God. Okay? You are vested. Sit down and listen. So there is a great demand for the word of God in revival. The third demand for revival is the demands of sustaining spiritual power. The third demand of revival is the demands for sustaining spiritual power. Okay, let's see where I'll end tonight. Okay, tonight I'll end at number four, then I'll explain the others later. The demands for sustaining spiritual power. I'm starting to get a little weary. The demands for sustaining spiritual power. Okay, Acts chapter number 2, verses number 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Acts 4:31. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Brothers and sisters, Acts 6:3. Choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. Now, the early church shows us a template for sustaining the revival fire. You need to be continually filled. When you read the book of Acts, you always find they were filled. They prayed and then they were filled. They prayed, they were filled. Then they were filled. Then they were filled. Then Stephen being filled with the Holy Spirit. They show us that to sustain revival, there is demands of sustaining spiritual power, which means a continual infilling. This is because you can't live on yesterday's infilling for today's challenges. So revival will consistently have new challenges. Revival will consistently have new things. So we can't live on yesterday's wine with today's challenges. We can't live on yesterday's marathon's power with the marathon for next week. We will need something fresh for us to be continually filled. So there is a demand to sustain spiritual power. You must continually be receiving fresh bread from heaven. And so there is a demand. Every revival has power demands. The labor sometimes is not necessarily sparking the revival alone, but also sustaining the revival through sustaining its spiritual power. When the power base in a revival is reducing, we start accommodating and allowing what previously was not allowed in revival. When you notice that revival, you know, I used to notice how that the church would be on fire for God would pray in a certain season, pray in a certain season. The moment you stop praying, the power base is reducing. When the power base is reducing, what was previously not accommodated will start getting accommodated. All of the sudden, you hear someone say, no, me, I'm starting to question God. You just hear someone text you, Pastor, does God really exist? I can assure you, the power base in a revival is reducing. The early church started with so much power. Even in the early church, this is something that happened. The early church started with so much power. Acts chapter number 2. By the time Peter is preaching, there were 3,000 people that gave their lives to the Lord because the power was so intense. But the power keeps reducing. Okay, of course, Acts chapter number 2. I mean, Acts chapter number 4, they build up on power. Acts chapter number 5, the power starts reducing. As it's reducing in Acts chapter number 5, people even start lying. Abene Ananias and Sapphira, Mnimo Acts chapter number 5, because the power base had reduced. They said, oh, unalish tisha, you know, ama guagu ya saamba. Mnimo Acts chapter number 5, why? The power base was reducing. By Acts chapter number 6, the power base had so reduced in the early church that they started arguing over food. Church yama revival. Yambokita argue over ine swana nipase vakudia. You know, I remember those days. Ngawaya kuwedi ine swana nipase sausage. Ine manitana sausage. Swana nipase ko sausage ine. You know, nishinamu ya kupati. And then people start asking, ngoi mwana wabanan. And you know, when someone asks, ngoi mwana wabanan, just know you're doing something wrong. Okay. Because the power base reduced. Yes, even the national tissue issue, you know, it's because the power base reduced. That is why I declared a 21-day. You are the ones that caused the 21-day fast on the people. Mm-hmm. Let me explain the national tissue thing, because many of you are wondering, what's the national tissue thing? We were in a planning meeting with the National Marathon planning team, and we were there. I think in that moment, we were not really fasting. We had been done with a fast. People were indulging and stuff like that. I think so. I can't remember. But we were not on an intense fast, if mm-hmm. I can put it like that to you. So we are in that particular place. And you can imagine we argued about an hour over the tissue we are to get at the National Marathon. Which tissue should we get? How much of the tissue is needed? No. We are expecting this number of people. No, we are praying for 20,000. This is what we are praying into. Haven't you seen the prayer? We argued for 1 hour over tissue. Naina as a pastor, ninji kalatureshita argue over tissue. No. We don't. We are like, no. Tissue budget. Tofaka tissue budget. Kangani ngan 5 pin and 8 pin. Naina shita argue. Iwe, kwa liba tissue 8 pin. What will people be doing? Na tissue 8 pin. No. It's a national tissue. The argument went on for 1 hour. When the power base reduces, we start to accommodate things that we are not previously being accommodated. So it's very, very important that it's very, very important for you to understand that our advice number. Okay, send to Steph if you are pink, fila fuller. No, if you are pink, fila jam, shama toilet. There was a lot. Okay, let me not even go there. This is TMI, but it was just so bad. When the power base reduces, the things we were not accommodating start getting accommodated. And that is at 8-pin tissue. You see, we'll start arguing over it. That is why after we ended that thing, I declared 21 days of fasting. Because I had also picked that the power base was reducing. People are just arguing over things. I said, okay, no more arguments. We are doing 21 days. Okay, doing 21 days. Mm-hmm. That's what caused the 21 days of fasting. Because the power base had reduced. So in revival, you have got demands to maintain power. Mm-hmm. And you must maintain that power. Because I can assure you, when the devil saw that you had propensity to trap revival, the moment you lose the power, the devil will strike you hard because he knows that you have tested revival. So he will try and bind you to a point of no return. So it's very, very important that we sustain the power base in revival. We continually keep charging ourselves. That is why we don't give people long breaks. We give people to a break to apa na apa. You rest 3 weeks. we go back to the regiment. You rest 4 days, we go back. You rest these days, you go back. Even in your relationship, I can assure you, check yourselves. Check the arguments you are having. If you are dating, if you are married, check the arguments you are having. I can assure you, you will notice that when the power base reduces in the marriage, in the relationship, arguments over small things start. Why? Because the power base has reduced. Now, mleko kupepa as a couple, you're no longer fasting together. So, mwambu kusta argue over thing. Why did you put 2 full stops on your message? You find, ulimu canceling, abantu na besa, na bazanda, na mulechita argue inshi, at you put 2 full stops when saying goodnight. Power base reduces. So it's important to ensure that you maintain the demands, the spiritual demands, okay? The spiritual demands in the revival, because revival has got spiritual demands. And also you must understand that many of us have gotten used to drinking from a very high place. So when you are drinking from a very high place, one of the things that happens is that your spiritual threshold increases. When you are drinking from a very high place, your spiritual threshold increases. And because your spiritual threshold has increased, what your spirit is demanding is more. And also, what you need is more. And also, what impresses you is high. And so because what impresses you is at a high level, you will not do with normal church. If church starts becoming normal for some of you, especially for those of you that I know have been experiencing stuff at KCCI, people getting drunk on buses, people just arrive already drunk on a bus, you know, people are getting slain drunk in town, you know, praying in tongues in town, things like that. You have gotten used to experiencing a move of God at a height. So you must sustain the spiritual demand. Sustain the spiritual demand. Some of you, you have reached a place where your spirit now has gotten used to operating at 20 volts. So you must always ensure you are always at 20 volts. Ule angali dafem 20 volts. Ule angali dafem 20 volts. Ngaya drop ako 18, 19, you top up 20 volts again. 20 volts. Have you noticed that there is a voltage you've gotten used to? When you're not at that voltage, you're not so happy. So kula angali dafem 20 volts. Be like those paranoid people, those iPhone paranoid people. Ngaya drop ako of a phone, they plug it again. Ngaya drop ako of a phone, they plug it again. There is a demand in revival to sustain the energy. To sustain the, right now, the energy demands for me to manifest at the level at which people have gotten used to seeing me manifest at is high. Sometimes I'm even saying, Lord, maybe I should read. Because for me now, the secret will be that I may need to reduce the number of invitations I'm taking. Why? Simple. People expect me at the highest height every time. However, with back-to-back ministrations, it's difficult for me to always be at that height when I have to minister back-to-back. I may always be on a fast. A liquid fast. I may always be on a liquid fast. Okay. So it's very, very important for me to now say, okay, great. Let me space them well so that I can sustain the spiritual demand. It's very, very important. Okay. Whew. Let me give you the last demand. Naumbo kunaka no kumfensala. Wamachua, sorry, at least, but nafunda ko batolo mla complaina wamachua ni mfunda lelo. Amachua ni mfunda lelo. Today I don't have juice. I was about to request for it, but it's okay. Lero nafunda wa machua. Up to 2211. Lekeni mpele the last demand. We'll finish the other demands before I start the next lesson for tomorrow. Wamachua wambo kufuma mgroup. Tawarefua kumfuati awe, shani. We pay, but we paid. But we paid. mature. Okay, no, let's do the last point. I'm getting tired. Okay, I'm getting tired. But impia shandishena tashana kire. Eh, but impia shandishena tashana kire. Okay. Yeah, okay, number four. Let's do the last one. Let's do the last one. The last demand in revival. The last demand is the demand of having financial muscle. The last demand is the demand of having financial muscle. The scripture we read in Joel 2, which started with afterwards. Now, if you are a student of English, you will understand that you don't start with saying afterwards unless there was something happening previously. So if someone is going to say afterwards, it means there was something happening previously. So for us to know the afterwards, you must check what is happening in the background. So you notice when you read before Joel 2, what is happening is restoration. Wealth is coming back to the people of God. There's a lot of restoration. The years that the canker worms, the things that, all these things that happened are being restored. So wealth is coming back. Then he says, then afterwards, I will pour out my spirit. So a wealth awakening should always happen before major revivals. Restoration and wealth should always happen before a major awakening, because we need finances in revival. We need a wealth awakening to go before a spiritual awakening. When you read the history of revival, you will discover that many revivals happened right after an industrial revolution. Many revivals happened after. Check the timeline of revival. You will discover many major revivals happened after an industrial revolution. Why? Because after the industrial revolution, there was wealth that came to the nations. And because wealth came to the people of God, revival could now come. And revival came, and there was enough finances to finance the revival. So it's very, very important for you to understand that revival require wealth. The dreams that are on many of the revivalists' hearts cannot be fulfilled right now because the church does not have money. People don't have resources. People don't have money to finance some of these things. So we need a wealth awakening to finance revival. That is what prompted the early church to start to bring the things they had before the apostles' feet, you know, that selling of the property by Ananias and Sapphira. It was because revival came. We needed revival. Many people started selling their lands. Okay, that is why many of you need to start acquiring lands. Okay, because some of the lands will be prime land. Some of them, they will discover minerals on that land. You will sell it for millions and billions, and then you will build thousands of churches. You need to start acquiring land because revival will require finances. There is a financial demand in revival. So I've given you strategy. Some of you may need to start purchasing land, strategic land. You may not know why God is compelling you to purchase land in a certain area. There may be minerals there and people will buy it for billions, and you advance the work of God in such a unique way. So we need financial giants to arise. There is a demand for finances. Usually when you start to talk about finances in light of revival, you fall out of favor. You are talking about the manifestation, you're talking about drinking in the spirit, people are happy. You talk about money, you fall out of favor. You talk about revival, you gain favor. You talk about, you fall out of favor. So people are behaving like that because you don't understand that revival require financial muscle. If a revival breaks out today and we have to gather for 2 years consecutively, there are some people that may have to serve in the revival full time. And if they are to serve in the revival full time, we are to ensure that they are taken care of financially. Else, they will be choked by the cares of life. Many of us have been saying, Pastor Cham, you just start a national house of prayer. Start a national house of prayer and then let it just run. If we start a national house of prayer, the people that must serve, because the National House of Prayer is running 24/7 day and night prayers, non-stop. So if it's running like that, the people that are serving in the media, the people that are leading in intercession during working hours, the people that are leading at midnight hours, the people that are handling media stuff, the people that are handling the equipment, ensuring that this thing is running 24/7 day and night on ground. Do you know what that means? It means that we'll need to hire some people as full-time intercessors. I'm believing that God will give us dangerous money.
Dangerous money to have full-time intercessors. Dangerous money to have full-time instrumentalists and worship leaders in the revival. International House of Prayer has got about 288 staff. Musicians. Is it? No. I think that should be. I'm now going to the Bible. Sorry. They have about 100 and something. I can't remember the numbers. They have about 100 and something people full-time. Your job is intercession. En chito. We need dangerous money. Okay, dangerous money that will make us do dangerous things. Some of the things people worry about, you should be wise. It's just money we are worried about. Some of the things people say, don't go into full-time ministry. Don't go into full-time ministry. Think about it. Some of these worries that parents are having are just monetary worries. Parents don't care. Let me tell you, many parents don't care the career you have. They are just caring about, are you going to be financially stable? And, well, good enough. You know, you are a parent. You want to make sure the person you raised is someone that, you know, by the time you are done with them, they are stable financially and they can, sustain themselves. So many people don't care whether you are a bishop, prophet, papa, pastor. They don't care. They don't care whether you are an artist, whether you are a painter. It's just the money issue. So I want to leave school. I just want to go into painting because my heart is for painting. Bala tontonga nyave painting. Nani wapita painting Mozambia. Atontonga yata vaishi vapo paint all you onso wapita. Mwana, go back and do that law. But ngabasa mwana timuli mpia mpainting. They are the ones that may even encourage you to say, now Ishva, law, we can do it later. Continue kupenta. Paint, my child. Paint. Paint everything. I'm gonna take your word and shiny Lord around. Okay, anyway. So so we need dangerous money. Okay, some of you, the fear you are having of taking certain strategic steps in serving the Lord, whether it's in ministry, whether it's in how you feel you should serve God. Many of you are afraid because of finances. If I now go this route of serving God through my painting, if I go this route of serving God as a missionary, how will I be eating? How will I be surviving? Nga vana, nga family, chikala vashani. So we need dangerous money. Okay? So I don't want people to suffer when we start that thing. We need dangerous money so that when we start it, of course we'll start it from our level, but we need dangerous money so that when we hire people, people are hired and we can run. So there is the demand for financial muscle. And that financial muscle is you and I. You and I. In your giving and in your generation of wealth. You need to ask God to teach you how to generate that wealth. And furthermore, you need to be generous in availing your wealth. Because you may generate wealth, but if you're not generous, it's still a waste. Because you have generated wealth, but the kingdom is not expanding with your wealth. So it's very, very important for you to understand that revival has a financial demand. Whew, thank you so much. I end here for the night. We'll continue tomorrow. I'll finish the last two demands and then I'll start with the other lesson.